From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, President Obama makes his third trip to New York. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, will share his thoughts on the politics of the president's trip. And Governor Cuomo says he'll make reforming the state's treatment of the disabled a major priority for the end of session. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. President Obama made his third trip to Albany this week and gave a speech taking aim at the Congress. But as the Innovation Trail's Marie Cusick reports, the president also touted the region's growth in high-tech manufacturing.
President Barack Obama!
After an introduction from Governor Andrew Cuomo, the president took the stage at the University at Albany's College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering. While much of his speech focused on a five-point to-do list for Congress, which he says will help turn around the economy, Mr. Obama said he came to Albany because the region's high-tech manufacturing cluster represents the economic future of the nation.
You got an outstanding university. Now I want what's happening in Albany to happen all across the country, places like Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Raleigh.
The multi-billion dollar Nano College was set up about a decade ago as a public-private partnership. The school employs close to 2,700 people who work with hundreds of companies as part of a consortium doing research in nanotechnology, the science behind many high-tech electronics and computer chips.
Well, we can't just go back to the way things used to be. We've got to move forward to an economy where everybody gets a fair shot, everybody's doing their fair share, everybody plays by the same set of rules. And that's what you guys are doing here in Albany. You're investing in your future.
The president had originally planned to visit the new Global Foundries computer chip plant in Saratoga County, but the venue was changed for what officials called logistical reasons. After touring the college with Governor Cuomo, Mr. Obama gave a speech inside a yet-to-be-completed clean room, which is set to open later this year and employ 1,000 new workers who will help to build the next generation of silicon wafers.
Everybody benefits when manufacturing is going strong. So you've heard about outsourcing. Today, more and more companies are insourcing.
The employees here say the president's visit is an affirmation of the school's success. James Laramie works as a programmer for the college.
It's a sign of what the economics can do for both government and industry working together. I think this is a great sign of it.
During his speech, Mr. Obama acknowledged that while private companies create jobs, the government's role is to set them up for success. And there are signs emerging that New York State's major investment in Albany is extending beyond the Capital Region. Scott Ballinger works for an Austin, Texas-based company that provides equipment to help clean rooms stay clean. He travels to upstate New York frequently.
In fact, we just made an investment up in the Buffalo area. We opened up a brand new manufacturing facility, and it's actually our North American headquarters. So we've made a significant investment in New York as well.
That's a story Mr. Obama would like to replicate. In his speech, he said Congress should change the tax code to incentivize more companies to keep jobs in the U.S. Tuesday's visit marked the third time President Obama has traveled to New York's capital region since taking office. That's a significant number of visits to a state that will likely go his way in November's election.
That was the Innovation Trail's Marie Cusick reporting. Support for the Innovation Trail comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The Innovation Trail is a collaboration between five upstate public media outlets reporting about New York's innovation economy. You can hear more at innovationtrail.org. Well, President Obama's visit to the Albany College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering may be in the books. It's still the talk of town, and our Dave Lucas went out to get reaction.
The president's third visit to the region in as many years is being hailed as a feather in the cap of UAlbany's Nanotech College.
Well, we can't just go back to the way things used to be. We've got to move forward to an economy where everybody gets a fair shot, everybody's doing their fair share, everybody plays by the same set of rules. And that's what you guys are doing here in Albany. You're investing in your future.
President Obama praised SUNY's high-tech success in Albany, calling it a model for the rest of the country. SUNY Chancellor Nancy Zimpfer agrees.
I think we should just play and replay. What's going on here in Albany is good for the entire country. I thought that was the statement.
CNSE hasn't escaped notice by the Republican who will likely challenge Obama for the presidency come November. Mitt Romney has cited Albany's nanotechnology initiative as, quote, vital to the economy and to our nation's competitiveness. Congressman Chris Gibson stresses the importance of bipartisanship.
We actually have worked together on big issues, on budget, on trade, and on taxes. You know, we worked together to get the Budget Control Act last year, which was a major piece of legislation. We did that together in a bipartisan, bicameral way with the president. Trade policy, which is so important to our economy. You know, we worked together, Republicans and Democrats, and also in a bicameral way with the administration with regard to South Korea, Panama, and Colombia. And then also tax policy. You know, we worked together with regard to the payroll tax extension. Now, I would also tell you that long term, we need this comprehensive tax reform. That is a better way of facilitating economic growth and actually making it more simple and more fair, the tax code.
H. Carl McCall, chairman of the State University Board of Trustees, believes Congress has been Obama's biggest roadblock.
The president has put forward proposals that'll jumpstart the economy, create jobs, and Congress has been the problem. So he has laid out a very specific agenda for Congress, and our job is to try to urge Congress to act on that agenda.
Assemblyman Jack McEnany feels the presidential visit caps years of achievement for the greater Capital Region.
It's impressive that we were able to get the President of the United States here in the Capital District three times during his presidency. I liked his message, and I think as one who's stepping down after 20 years and watched the Centers for Applied Technology grow into the Nanotech College, it's kind of the icing on the cake, almost a graduation that we've arrived in the eyes of the state, the nation, and the world. This is only going to improve and continue for not just years, but generations.
The innovation at CNSE continues. Steve Janak is Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the Nano College. He explains the importance of Nano Career Day happening right now on campus.
As you can imagine, the day after President Obama visited the Nano College, the kids are just beyond excited today. We have more than 300 middle and high school students from schools all across New York State. They're here to get really an up-close look at the future of nanotechnology, what it means for them in terms of educational opportunities and career opportunities. And nanotechnology is an industry which is growing very rapidly across New York State and provides opportunities for careers at a multitude of levels.
Janek says three-quarters of the most recent nano graduates remain in New York State working at high-tech companies or continuing their education.
So the message is, for students who are from New York State, once you engage at the Nano College for education, this is a place that will keep you for high-tech positions.
Janek notes students from other states are finding they have better opportunities here in New York and are staying here as opposed to going back where they came from.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Dr. Alan Shartok. Alan, quite a week this week. It began with President Obama coming to the Capital Region of New York. He was at UAlbany's Nanoscale Science and Engineering, where he talked about the public-private partnership that he says has made the region an example for the nation. He also went after the Congress and came up with a to-do list of many items that he says need to get done before November. And then the day after he leaves New York, he announces he's supporting gay marriage. And of course, New York, Governor Cuomo, one of his victories to get gay marriage in New York. Give us your reaction on all of this stuff.
Well, I happen to think Barack Obama, the president of the United States, is a brilliant man. And, you know, every once in a while, I shrug my shoulders and say, well, what was this about? Why did they do this? So, for example, coming to New York, coming to this SUNY where the magnificent work is being done and making the point that this is what we need more of in terms of specialized training. He did it, I suspect, not because it was New York, because he's going to win big in New York, but also because he thought that New York was a place that could be replicated. New York is the media capital of the world. Every camera was on him. Every television was on him. It made all of the national type papers. So it turns out, I think, to be a pretty brilliant move. On the gay marriage, look, he had to be for gay marriage. But the way that he made this announcement was just brilliant. He says that he had to go through, an evolution here. He had to come to the point where he understood it. He talked to his family. He talked to the gay folks in his entourage who work for him. And he understood from them that a hospital visit is so important. He thought that other things like, you know, civil unions and others were enough. And then he realized that it wasn't. Unless it was the same thing, it wasn't going to be. But what was nice about the way he said it, he didn't look down his nose at anybody and say, you see, anybody's not for this, I don't understand them. He said, I was there too, and I evolved into this position. And the fact that he could say that makes everybody in the country who may have had their doubts identified. Just remember that 2 days before he said it, or the day before he said it, North Carolina voted heavily against gay marriage in that state. And in fact, it's my understanding that wherever it's come up as a vote, it's gone down. So what we have here is a president who's doing what FDR did all the time. He's leading. He's taking his moral authority. He's taking his perch and he's saying, follow me, everybody. Grab my hand and we'll do this together. Well, instead of a guy who appears to be looking at the metrics and, you know, the election returns and what this will do or not do, you have a guy who gets out front here and, in my view, deserves tremendous respect for that. Personally, I've always been for this ultimate civil right. But the country hasn't been, and here comes a guy with some guts, and I really admire that.
Let's head back to Albany for a second, Alan, because one of the things politically that came up in the president's visit to New York was the negotiation and the credit claiming that went on. We had the Global Foundries plant up in Malta where he was originally supposed to show up. That then changed to UAlbany Nanoscale Science. There was some conjecture that this was a result of Malta being a Republican district and Albany being a Democratic district. And then there's the credit claiming that went on among various sides of the aisle for bringing this project to Albany in the first place.
Well, let's take the credit claiming thing, because we don't really know about why they crapped out on Malta. It could be any of those things that you said, or, you know, it could be the fact that the Abu Dhabians owned it, could be any of that. They really made a very good choice in coming to SUNY at Albany. After all, it's a five-minute ride from the airport, presidential security. You would have had to close all the roads up and down. Not that, some of the famous roads leading to Malta aren't filled with cars all the time, the New York State Northway. But I'm fascinated by this whole business of who gets the credit. Well, Andrew Cuomo said, my father started this. And the president dutifully said in his speech, Governor Cuomo tells me his father started it. That's different than saying Governor Cuomo's senior started it. Then up speaks Speaker Sheldon Silver. He says, I started it. So, he wants the credit for that. Then up speaks, and there's a picture in the paper, and pictures are 1,000 words. You got Cuomo looking sort of ahead and Silver looking aside the other way, doesn't look happy. I'll bet he doesn't. you know, the people on the inside of the legislature have no use for Cuomo. The people love him so far. But the legislature isn't enamored of the guy. And anybody you talk to tells you that because they think he's a bully and they think he's tough and all the rest. His supporters say, well, you got to be a bully in order to get, you know, anything done. But then comes, you know, the guy who's indicted, who really probably did the whole thing, Joe Bruno, the former Senate Republican leader. And he's probably the one who really did it. And along with him is a guy he didn't really like very much, George Pataki. And Pataki says, I did it. And so that's the way it is. Everybody's saying, I get the credit. I get the credit, looking like a bunch of squabbling children.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok.
Governor Cuomo says he will make reform of the state's treatment of the disabled a major priority for the end of the legislative session and plans to take his case to the people to convince the legislature. More from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Back on Monday, Governor Cuomo announced the creation of a new state agency with a special prosecutor and inspector general. It will investigate cases of abuse of the mentally and physically disabled by state-employed caregivers. The governor is seeking other reforms in what he calls a systematic breakdown of protections for people with developmental disabilities, mental illness, and traumatic brain injuries. While legislative leaders attended that announcement and said it warranted more discussions, they did not commit immediately to Cuomo's proposed legislation. Union leaders, whose members in several state agencies would be affected by the changes, also indicated they were open to dialogue. Perhaps in response to that lukewarm reaction, the governor now says he'll have his commissioners crisscross the state in a 7-week campaign. He says it will motivate rank-and-file New Yorkers to tell the Senate and Assembly to adopt the governor's plan.
And I am thoroughly convinced when the people of the state hear these facts, they're going to support it overwhelmingly. The people will have no tolerance for what's been going on.
And Cuomo says lawmakers who are arguing that they want to talk more about specifics of the legislation and unions that are wary that some members might not be treated fairly by some of the proposed new rules are both wrong on the facts.
The devil isn't in the details on this. The devil is in the abuse in this. The devil is in the delay in this. It's not about the details.
Many cases of abuse of mentally and physically disabled people in state care were documented in a series by the New York Times. The series was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, but Cuomo denies that the paper's stories had any influence on his policymaking, though he says they were well done. Cuomo's dedication to passing reforms for care of the developmentally disabled is in contrast to his efforts on some other end-of-session issues, including raising the minimum wage and public financing of campaigns. The governor says he backs campaign finance reform and has in the past been for a minimum wage increase, but he's adopted a more fatalistic attitude about the success of those two issues in the legislature. He says that while Assembly Democrats support the measure, Senate Republicans do not, and the governor has not said he'd try to convince anyone to change their minds. When asked Wednesday about his priorities for the end of the session, Cuomo mentioned a resolution on how to make teacher evaluations public and a cleanup of the troubled New York Racing Association, or NYRA, which oversees horse racing, among other things.
We have a number of items that we're trying to get done. We're trying to get a teacher evaluation bill passed. We're trying to get something on NYRA possibly done. A NYRA reform package done, although that's somewhat preliminary. We're trying to negotiate a prescription drug abuse bill. It's a big issue, especially on Long Island. We're trying to get a cyberbullying bill done.
But Cuomo did not mention a minimum wage increase or public financing of campaigns. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
April marked the one-year anniversary of the New York State law that requires that all those old computers, TVs, and cell phones you have lying around the house be recycled instead of simply thrown in the trash. Under the law, manufacturers have to collect and recycle the products they create when consumers are done with them. But a new report by the Natural Resources Defense Council finds the law is having mixed results. Reporter Tracy Samuelson of New York Public Radio followed one discarded computer through the recycling process.
It's an old gray Gateway computer tower, Pentium 4, Windows XP, recently put out to pasture by the New School in Chelsea. The school has gathered over 750 pounds of electronic waste, or e-waste, for recycling over the last 2 weeks, and they've hired a company called Fourth Bin to collect it.
So four big hulking computers weighing in at 129 pounds.
John Kirsch is one of the company's co-founders. He picks up e-waste for recycling in a rented U-Haul and, depending on size, charges between $10 and $125 per item.
I mean, you can tell how old they are. The gateway's been out of business for 5 years now.
The average U.S. household now has 24 electronic devices. And as we rush to replace them with the latest, greatest model, we're literally creating tons of e-waste. 2.4 million tons each year.
52 pounds.
And only a quarter of that is recycled. When it's not, there's the risk that toxins inside, lead, mercury, beryllium, can end up polluting the groundwater or the air. The end of the gateway starts with a truck ride to Fourth Bin's storage facility in Harlem, then on to the warehouse of a company called We Recycle outside the city. There, it joins a graveyard of TVs, printers, faxes, phones, miles of tangled cables and cords. First stop, the harvest department, where disassembly technician Robert Marcial starts tearing it apart.
Now inside, it's main contents that we try to take off first. It's the aluminum, battery, the hard drives, and also the CPUs. You can see like some of the platinum actually shining and glistening.
When he's done, the computer is just a sad shell. Supervisor Carlos Jorge knows it's the end of the line for our gateway.
That's where it gets cut. That's our twin shaft shredder. It'll break it in half to three-quarter pieces.
Okay. Ready?
From here, the chewed-up pieces are sorted into bags of metals, plastics, and circuit boards. Each will be sold to another recycler, who will melt them down and make new gadgets and devices. The whole cycle will start again.
Break time.
Between the new school and the shredder, at least 10 people touched our gateway computer over 20 miles on three trucks through three warehouses. Sounds like a lot, but it's actually not, says Kate Sinding, a lawyer with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
It's much more likely that something gets collected and then goes either a significant distance within state or possibly out of state, or in many cases, abroad for handling.
Congress is considering legislation to ban shipping e-waste abroad, where it could be dumped, incinerated, or dismantled using child labor. And about half of all states have passed their own e-waste laws. In New York, starting this year, companies can no longer dump their old equipment in the trash. In 2015, the same will apply to consumers. Like most states, New York makes e-waste recycling the manufacturer's job. They have to collect a certain amount each year or face fines. But consumers still have to get their dead electronics to the manufacturer.
In New York City, where rates of car ownership are much lower, where there are fewer clear options for permanent collection facilities, you know, we don't have a dump in that sense, it's not been as successful.
Manufacturers are collecting most of their required tonnage upstate. Christine Dotz Romero organizes one-day collection events around the city. She also recently opened a warehouse in Brooklyn where people can come and drop off their e-waste.
It'll take a lot of these sort of projects to really cover all of New York City. But in the end, that's what we need to create. We need to really create an infrastructure.
Infrastructure like more warehouses, pop-up collection events, and education. So people will know that this stuff can't go in the trash and what options they have for getting rid of it. In New York City, I'm Tracy Samuelson.
That about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies of the program are available. Call 1-800-323-9262. That number, 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1219. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.